chapter 11. Then a measuring rod, like a staff, was given to me, and I was told, "Rise and measure God's temple and the altar, and count those who worship in it. But exclude the courtyard outside the temple, for it has been given over to the nations. And for 42 months they will trample on the holy city. And I will authorize my two witnesses to prophesy, wearing sackcloth for 1,260 days. These two witnesses are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord God of the whole earth. If anyone attempts to harm them, fire will flow out of their mouths and consume their foes. All who seek to harm them will die in this way. They have authority to shut the heavens so that no rain will fall during the days of their prophesying. They have authority over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague imaginable as often as they desire. When their testimony is completed, the beast that comes up from the sea will wage war against them and conquer them and kill them. Their dead bodies will lie on the street of the great city that is symbolically called Sodom and Egypt, where their Lord was also crucified. For 3.5 days, people from every ethnicity, tribe, nation, and language will see their corpses, because no one is permitted to bury them. The entire world will gloat over them and celebrate and exchange gifts, because these two prophets had condemned those who dwell on the earth. After 3.5 days, God's breath of life entered them, and they stood to their feet, terrifying all who saw them. Then they heard a loud shout from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." The two prophets climbed up into heaven in a cloud, while their enemies watched. At that very moment there was a powerful earthquake, and 1/10 of the city collapsed, killing 7,000 people. The rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now the second woe has passed, and the third is coming swiftly. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and a loud voice broke forth in heaven, saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our God and of his anointed one. He will reign supreme for an eternity of eternities." Then the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell face down before him and worshiped him, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, because you have established your great and limitless power and begun to reign. The nations were furious, and you became furious, and the time for judging the dead has come. The time has come to reward your servants, the prophets, and the holy ones, and all who reverence your name, both small and great. And the time has come to destroy those who corrupt the earth." Then God's temple was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was clearly visible inside his temple. And there were blinding flashes of lightning, voices roaring, startling thunderclaps, a massive earthquake, and a great hailstorm. Chapter 12. Then an astonishing miracle sign appeared in heaven. I saw a woman clothed with the brilliance of the sun, and the moon was under her feet. She was wearing on her head a victor's crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in labor pains in the agony of giving birth. Consider this. Another astonishing miracle sign appeared in heaven. I saw a huge fiery red dragon with 10 horns and 7 heads, each wearing a royal crown. He was wearing 7 royal crowns. The dragon's massive tail swept across the sky and dragged away 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon crouched before the woman who was about to give birth, poised to devour the baby the moment it was born. She gave birth to a man-child who is about to rule and shepherd every nation with an iron scepter. And her son was caught up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness, where God had already prepared a safe place for her. And there they nourished her for 1,260 days. Then a terrible war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the great dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back. But the dragon did not have the power to win, and they could not regain their place in heaven. So the great dragon was thrown down once and for all. He was the serpent, the ancient snake called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole earth. He was cast down into the earth, and his angels along with him. Then I heard a triumphant voice in heaven proclaiming, "Now salvation and power are set in place, and the kingdom reign of our God and the ruling authority of his anointed one are established. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who relentlessly accused them day and night before our God, has now been defeated, cast out once and for all. They conquered him completely through the blood of the Lamb and the powerful word of his testimony. They triumphed because they did not love and cling to their own lives, even when faced with death. So rejoice, you heavens, and every heavenly being. But woe to the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you with great fury, because he knows his time is short." Now when the dragon realized that he had been cast down to the earth, he set off in pursuit of the woman who had given birth to the man-child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, so that she could fly and escape into the wilderness to her own special place, where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time, away from the face of the dragon. Then the dragon spewed from his mouth a raging river of water to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth came to the rescue of the woman, and at once opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became enraged at the woman, and went off to make war against the remnant of her offspring, who follow the commands of God and have the testimony of Jesus. And the dragon took his stand on the sand of the seashore.
Chapter 12. To learn the truth, you must long to be teachable, or you can despise correction and remain ignorant. If your heart is right, favor flows from the Lord. But a devious heart invites his condemnation. You can't expect success by doing what's wrong, but the lives of his lovers are deeply rooted and firmly planted. The integrity and strength of a virtuous wife transforms her husband into an honored king. But the wife who disgraces her husband weakens the strength of his identity. The lovers of God are filled with good ideas that are noble and pure, but the schemes of the sinner are crammed with nothing but lies. The wicked use their words to ambush and accuse, but the lovers of God speak to defend and protect. The wicked are taken out, gone for good, but the godly families shall live on. Everyone admires a man of principles, but the one with a corrupt heart is despised. Just be who you are, and work hard for a living, for that's better than pretending to be important and starving to death. A good man takes care of the needs of his pets, while even the kindest acts of a wicked man are still cruel. Work hard at your job, and you'll have what you need. Following a get-rich-quick scheme is nothing but a fantasy. The cravings of the wicked are only for what is evil, but righteousness is the core motivation for the lovers of God, and it keeps them content and flourishing. The wicked will get trapped by their words of gossip, slander, and lies. But for the righteous, honesty is its own defense. For there is great satisfaction in speaking the truth, and hard work brings blessings back to you. A fool is in love with his own opinion, but wisdom means being teachable. If you shrug off an insult and refuse to take offense, you demonstrate discretion indeed. But the fool has a short fuse and will immediately let you know when he's offended. Truthfulness marks the righteous, but the habitual liar can never be trusted. Reckless words are like the thrust of a sword, cutting remarks meant to stab and to hurt. But the words of the wise soothe and heal. Truthful words will stand the test of time, but one day every lie will be seen for what it is. Deception fills the hearts of those who plot harm, but those who plan for peace are filled with joy. Calamity is not allowed to overwhelm the righteous, but there's nothing but trouble waiting for the wicked. Live in the truth and keep your promises, and the Lord will keep delighting in you, but he detests a liar. Those who possess wisdom don't feel the need to impress others with what they know, but foolish ones make sure their ignorance is on display. If you want to reign in life, don't sit on your hands. Instead, work hard at doing what's right, for the slacker will end up working to make someone else succeed. Anxious fear brings depression, but a life-giving word of encouragement can do wonders to restore joy to the heart. Lovers of God give good advice to their friends, but the counsel of the wicked will lead them astray. A passive person won't even complete a project, but a passionate person makes good use of his time, wealth, and energy. Abundant life is discovered by walking in righteousness, but holding on to your anger leads to death.